beginning of the Sedra deals with Bigdei Kohuna, the clothing that the Kohanim wore, and the Torah says two distinct functions of the Bigdei Kohuna. On the one hand, they were Lekadsho Lekahanoli. They sanctified the Kohanim and made them Kohanim, brought out their Kohuna, brought out their inner Kedusha. And Chazal say, Bigdeim Aleihem Kunosim Aleihem. If they are wearing their clothing, then they're Kohanim. And if not, they're just like regular Jews. A Kohen who's not wearing the special clothing when he does the Avoda is like a regular Jew doing the Avoda, is Chayiv Misa. It's Mechal Avoda. Zor. So the Bigodim bring out the Kedusha of the Kohen. And then the Torah says a different purpose for the Bigodim. That Lekavod L'Tiferes, they're for honor and glory. That the honor and glory of the Kohen. In understanding these two functions of the Bigdei Kohuna, we can understand the two functions of clothing, Bichlal, and the whole concept of Tznius. So that's what we're going to discuss, and I hope we'll have time to finish it, the concept of Tznius. Now, many people think that Tznius is a function of the fact that the body is not nice, erotic, and that therefore has to be covered, because it's not a nice thing to see. That can't be the reason. Because if then human bodies are so negative, how much more so animal bodies? And I don't know of anyone, right, that has the shita that you can't go to the zoo unless the animals are dressed. So we're not really makbid on dressing animals. In fact, the only place I know where they are makbid on dressing their dogs and cats is in Los Angeles. And that can't be because of tznias, because they don't dress themselves. So what is tznias? Basically, before the chait of Adam and Chava, it was clear that the ikar of a human being was a neshama. We are neshamos. We are neshamos. We were created as neshamos. We existed as neshamos for thousands of years before we came into this world. Our bodies, I always like to compare to a spacesuit. An astronaut, as long as he's on terra firma, on the earth, he can function very nicely without any special suit or apparatus. But when he goes into outer space, which is not conducive to a human being, he needs oxygen apparatus to breathe. There is no oxygen there. He needs a pressurized suit to be able to function because there's no air pressure. And he needs a radio to talk because there are no sound waves. There's no atmosphere. When he comes back to Earth, he takes off the suit. Doesn't need it anymore. He can function again very nicely. So too, as long as we were neshamas in a spiritual world, we could function very nicely without a body. We could see without eyes and hear without ears. Our neshamas could function very nicely in a spiritual environment. But when we came into this physical world, in a physical world, the neshama needs a spacesuit to wear to be able to function. In the physical world, you need eyes to see and ears to hear and so on. But the body is merely a suit of clothing that the neshama wears to be able to function in this world. And therefore, when we go back to the spiritual world, we leave the body here, just like the astronaut takes off the spacesuit. And it could be for that reason, one of the ways that we manifest or express mourning when somebody dies is by tearing our clothing. It shows that it's only the clothing that's been torn away, but the essence of the person is still there. In any case, up until the chait of Adam and Chava, which didn't take too long, it was clear that the body was merely a tool to enable the neshama to function, and the ikar of a person was the neshama. But once Adam and Chava sinned with their body, and they used their body against their neshama, now it wasn't clear anymore which is the ikar. You can't say that the whole purpose of the body is to be a tool for the neshama, because the body did things that were not good for the neshama. Counterproductive to the neshama. Against the neshama. So maybe the body's the ikar, not the neshama. And beyond that, maybe there is no neshama. You ever see a neshama? All you see is a body. So from that point on, when the body was bogeyed, it rebelled against the neshama, you needed a beged to wear to take care of that rebellion. And the beged basically makes the following statement. Don't be distracted by the externals. There is more here than meets the eye. And what you can't see is more important than what you can see. That is the concept of tznius. Wherever there is an inner kedusha and the externals can distract you from that inner kedusha and make you not realize that that's the ikar, we cover the externals to distract attention from the externals and to direct attention towards the internal. There's more here than meets the eye. I am not an animal. I'm a neshama. Don't get distracted by my externals. Realize that there's more to me than you can see. That is what the statement of tznius is. And therefore, it doesn't only apply to human beings and to bodies and to clothing. It applies to other things too. It says in the Medrash, when the Mishkan was completed, the Rabbanu Shel Olam said, Kan yofeh hatznius. Here, tznius is very proper. And therefore, the Mishkan was covered with coverings that made it look like a bride. It had a veil in the front and a train in the back. Mamish like a kala's dress. What in the world does tznius have to do with the Mishkan? But the same idea. If you approach the Mishkan as a magic building of gold and silver and wood, and it's a magic thing that, you know, you put your kvittel in the kosel and it's like a magic wishing wall, then it's avodah zarah. There's no difference between mirror, mirror on the wall or wall, wall on the ground. It's all the same. But if you understand that it's not the externals that are important, otherwise it becomes like the chet ha'egel. What's the difference between a golden calf and a golden building? But the mila of the Mishkan and the Mikdash is the inner value, the Kedusha, the Shechina. So we cover the externals by the Mishkan, which was gold and whatever on the outside, and we make the statement, there's more here than meets the eye. Don't be distracted by the externals here. Realize the ikar here is the Shechina that's inside. A Talmud Chacham has to be extra tzanua. Why? Because there's a very big danger. You have to give kavod and yira. Stand in awe of a Talmud Chacham like you do the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's very dangerous. Because if you stand in awe of his personality, it's avodah zarah. What do you stand in awe of? His Torah. The inner Torah that that person possesses. He's a representation of Torah. So it's the Torah that you fear. It's not the person. And therefore, the Talmud Chacham has to distract attention from his externals and say, what you are relating to here is not me. It's the Torah that I represent. It's what's inside. And the same thing goes for women. Women especially have to be tzanua, because in the secular world, women are basically judged and valued for their external merits. Whereas in the Torah world, women are the essence of Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And I'm not saying that to make you feel good, it's true. Because what is the one single factor that determines whether anyone who is born has a Jewish neshama, Kedusha, or not a Jewish neshama, a neshama that's not Kodesh? What is that one factor? Who your mother was. And up until recently, mothers were women. And therefore, what's it called? And therefore, the one single factor that determines Kedushas Yisrael is women. So therefore, a woman has to be extra careful to make the statement, the ikar here is not what you see, not my externals, but it's what's beneath the surface that you can't see. So we cover the body so we shouldn't be distracted by the externals and direct the attention towards that which is not seeable on the surface. That is the concept of tznius. And that's why it's called tznius. There's a perek in Maseches Shabbos called Hamatznia. For our purposes, I'm going to oversimplify what it is, but it's pretty close to what the idea is. In order to be chayev achatos, or misa on Shabbos, for being mechal Shabbos, you have to do a choshava amount of malacha. That's to be a shir. For instance, if you carry something out on Shabbos, and it's less than a kezias of food, it's not important enough to get death penalty for it. You're not allowed to do it. You're mechal Shabbos. But not to the degree that you'll get a death penalty. Or that if you did a b'shogeg, you have to bring a chatas. So the shear of carrying food products on Shabbos is a kezias. There's an exception to that according to some shitas in the Gemara. And that's the following. Let's say you have a small piece, very small piece of your wedding cake that you've saved as a memento. You have it in this little jewelry box, and every once in a while you look at it, right, nostalgically, remember your wedding, and you forget that it's Shabbos, and you carry that small little piece of wedding cake into the Rishus HaRabbah. You would have to bring a chatas. Why? Because even though it's not the regular shear of a kezias, but you hid it away for safekeeping, you made it important. To you, that thing's important, because you hid it away for safekeeping. And therefore, if you carry that, it becomes important enough to be chayiv on Shabbos. That's hamatznia. Not you hide something away because it's not good. You hide it away to preserve it, to preserve its value. That's what tznias is. You cover the body not because there's something wrong with the body, but because the body is important because it's a tool for the neshama. But if the body is not a tool for the neshama, that's all there is, then you're an animal. So in order to show how important a human body is, we cover it. We hide it away for safekeeping, that it shouldn't be distorted and looked upon in the wrong way. That is tznius. Now, if that would be the only thing, then the ideal kind of clothing would be to wear a tent. We should wear this big tent with a big hoop around us, all of us, and just have a face covering and two eye slits, and nobody should know you have a body. Okay? And that would be the ideal tznius. But up to this day, except for maybe some people in Yerushalayim, nobody, or Arabs, nobody walks like that. Nobody wears tents. We wear form-fitting clothing, right, that show that we have a body. So why wouldn't it be better if we wore clothing that totally obliterated any zecher of a body? The answer is that there is another aspect to tznius, and that is that even though the body is not an ikker, but the body is something important. Beauty, physical beauty, external beauty is, yes, important. How do I know? The Torah says so. Tells us that Sari Menu was as beautiful at 20 as she was at 7. Tells me that Rivka was Yefei Toar, Yefei Mara, Yefei Toar, Yefei Mara. Same thing about Rachel. Yosef was handsome. Who cares? These people were great people. Made a difference what they looked like. Sara could have been an ugly hag. Who cares? She was Sari Menu. But the Torah said that made a difference. She was a beautiful woman. Beyond that, you have to understand, in my estimation, a 20-year-old is prettier than a 7-year-old. So why did it say Sari Menu was as pretty as 20 as she was at 7? Thirdly, external beauty is a very culturally subjective thing. There's nothing that is beautiful world over. Example, in the deepest Africa, there's a tribe called the Ubangis. You will be very happy that you are not born a Ubangi, because the Ubangis have this quaint custom that when their daughters are about 3-4 years old, they put a half saucer in their mouth between their gum and their upper lip. and the lip stretches. And as it stretches, they put in a bigger half saucer, and then a bigger one. And when they're your age, their upper lip sticks out about 12 inches. And that is considered beautiful. If you don't have an upper lip that sticks out 12 inches by the Ubangis, you'll never find the shidduch. Whereas in America, if you have a lip that sticks out 12 inches, your parents will send you to the orthodontist, spend thousands of dollars to correct it, otherwise you won't find the shidduch. I had a daughter who needed orthodonture work. I was thinking of sending her to the Ubangis. It was much cheaper. So which is it? What's beautiful? It says, Esther Hamalka, no se schein de ene koro. Everybody thought she was charming. How could it be? Either she had a lip that stuck out 12 inches or she didn't. If she did, she was charming to the Ubangis and disgusting to the Americans. And if she didn't, she was disgusting to the Ubangis and charming to the Americans. How could she be charming to everybody? The answer is, there is a certain beauty that is universal, that's not culturally subjective. That beauty is the beauty of a seven-year-old. It's the beauty of the innocence of childhood. It is the outer reflection of inner purity. That is a beauty that is universal. That is the beauty the Torah is talking about, that Sarah had, and Rivka had, and Rachel had, and Yosef had. Their inner beauty shown to the outside. And that's what the Vilna Gaon explains the pasuk. Sheker hachein vehevel hayofi isha yiras Hashem itisalo. Says the Vilna Gaon. When is chein and yofi, sheker and hevel? When there's nothing more, when it's only external. But in a woman who fears God, her chein and her yofi should be praised. Because then the chein and yofi are external expressions of that inner beauty. And we live in a physical world, and therefore what makes an impression on us is what we see. So if you can see a person whose external beauty reflects that inner kedusha, then it's not only the inner kedusha that you sense, it's what you mamish can see. You can see, right? That's aesthetics. It's something, a beautiful mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah. Why do we care if the mitzvah looks nice or not? Because it reflects the inner kedusha of that mitzvah. You see it in a physical way. That's what real tznius is. Real tznius is where a person dresses in a way that it makes the statement, don't be distracted by the external, the ikker here is the internal. But if you look at how I dress that external, you'll see that it reflects that inner kedusha. That when you see someone dressed respectfully and in a tasteful way, you see that inner kedusha in a very external, physical way. That is the ultimate of tznius. And therefore, the Big Day Kahuna had two functions. One, lekadsho lekanoli, to cover the body of the Kohen and to make the statement, the main thing here is not the externals. It's that inner kedusha. So the begadim brought out that inner kedusha. At the same time, they were lekavod l'tiferes. They emphasized the fact that the external is not the main thing, it's the internal, and then they reflected they expressed that inner kedusha in a very physical way. They were beautiful clothing. So those are the two functions of clothing. And that's why clothing is called beged, because it's a function of bogeid, of being a rebel, because the body rebelled against the neshama. You need to cover it. And levush. Levush means lo busha. It takes away your embarrassment. Because if a person acts in a way that they are like an animal, and they don't act in a way that's befitting that inner kedusha, but they do things that are not in befitting that inner kedusha, that's a busha. That's embarrassment. So clothing takes away that embarrassment. It makes me realize there are things that are proper for me to do and things that are improper that are embarrassing because I'm not an animal. And then there's another designation for clothing. Michabdusi, that which honors me. The clothing express externally the inner Kedusha. I'll give you an example of what that means. It's hard to explain by Kedusha. But a doctor, okay? Used to live in Miami. I had many doctors in my kehillah. Most of them, when they went and made their rounds in the hospital, wore a white coat, conservative pants, a button-down shirt, and a stethoscope around their neck. And when you saw them, it brought out the respect for a doctor. Here's a doctor. But some of them rushed into the hospital to make rounds in their regular casual dress of wearing a Bermuda shorts and a Hawaiian shirt. Now, even with the stethoscope, you can't have the same respect for that doctor when he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and Bermuda shorts as when he's wearing a white coat. And the white coat doesn't make him a doctor, but it reflects externally what he is. A policeman. Right? If a policeman comes in his uniform, it puts a little fear into you. But if that same policeman would come in the Hawaiian shirt and Bermuda shorts, it doesn't have the same effect. It's not the same thing. It looks different. When you dress casually, you feel casual, and you look casual. And when you dress formally, you feel formal, and you look formal. It doesn't make you a different person, but it expresses that inner, what you are inside at that time. So clothing, on the one hand, covers the body and makes the statement that I'm not a body. There's more to me than you can see. At the same time, it covers the body in a tasteful way that expresses externally what that is, that there's more to see. There's something internal. It expresses that internal kedusha. That is the ultimate of tznius, and that's why the Big Day Kahuna had both of those functions. They were lekadsho lekanoli. They emphasized the inner kedusha of the Kohen by covering the body. And at the same time, they were lekavod l'tiferes. They expressed that inner kedusha in an external way that gave it honor and glory.